from an internationally known art superstar to a brand new literary star, Marlene van Niekerk. Her novel, Agathe, translated into English, has just been published here. There is probably no Afrikaan writer as widely read outside South Africa as she is. She's earned scores of prizes, but for American readers, the most important endorsement of her latest novel is from Toni Morrison, who calls it, quote, absolutely the most extraordinary book I've read in a long time, which is a big deal for Toni Morrison to say about a white South African writer.
I feel completely overwhelmed and grateful. And yeah, also strangely puzzled because the book is a strange beast. And I was extremely flattered. I'm a fan of Miss Morrison's work, and I refer to it often in my creative writing classes. Yes, I do. I always take the example of Paradise, for instance, where succinct points of the narrative are put like little pink lights in a dark room at the beginning, and slowly the picture comes up. And right at the end, only right at the end, the full context of these little points at the beginning become available to the reader, which makes the reader feel, and this is the point, like somebody who has solved a difficult puzzle.
Puzzle is a good word for the plot of Marlene van Niekerk's novel Agathe, more like literary Rubik's Cube. It runs from 1947 to 1996, jumps back and forth and back and forth in time, and explores the very complicated relationship between two women. One is a white farmer named Mila de Witt, the other a black girl named Agathe, Mila's servant and almost her adopted daughter. Almost. Now, your novel, before I mispronounce it, tell me how to pronounce it correctly.
Agathe. It's a scraping sound in the deep guttural areas of the throat.
Really? So I just can't say Agathe? I have to say Agathe every time I say it?
That's great.
This novel is, I've discovered, is part of a rich tradition in South Africa of the plaasroman, farm novel.
Farm novel, that's correct.
What is the typical farm novel like?
Well, there's always a very deep male concern with the soil and with the fertility of the soil and especially the ownership of the soil.
You mean, meaning the we white people who arrived here?
Yeah, we white people who arrived here to be the light on the southernmost tip of Africa, taming the country with our bare hands kind of story, the true and general mythological story of settlerdom and of taking possession. It's a politically contested business, ownership of soil.
Which you write about, the land itself, and it is, I visited the Cape a few years ago, and it is incredibly beautiful, and it was great to read your descriptions of the land again. I'm wondering if you could read a little bit from the book, and if you can just set it up, who is talking
right
here.
Jackie de Wet is the son of Miller de Wet. When his mother dies.
His mother being one of the two main characters of the novel.
That's right.
With
whom he had a fraught relationship.
As everyone seems to have.
Yes, a bit of a tortured family novel. Which families are not tortured that you know about? Anyhow. So he, in this passage, recalls the countryside, the landscape of his youth, on his way to the airport to go and bury his mother. The rivers of my childhood, they were different. Their names cannot tell how beautiful they were. Botrivier, Rivier Sonder End, Klein Kruisrivier, Duivenhoks, Maandagsoutrivier, Slangrivier, Buffeljagsrivier, Karringmelksrivier, Koerendlandrivier. Rivers burgeoning, rivers without end, small rivers crossing, rivers redolent of dovecotes, of salt on Mondays, of snakes, rivers of the hunting of the buffalo, rivers like buttermilk, rivers running through fields of wheat, winding, hopeful, stony rivers. What can have remained of them? The rivers could not be blamed. Not of thy rivers, no. My country, it is of thy people you are dying.
It's Marlene van Niekerk reading from her novel, Agathe. Hearing those words, those Afrikaan words, made the reading beautiful, but does it does it lose something in English, or how is the English version different than the Afrikaan version in which you wrote it?
Yes, yes. Now, the translation was quite difficult. Fortunately, I was in a position to collaborate closely with a translator who's also a friend of mine and who's also a writer.
It's interesting, but you seem to speak English perfectly, but you thought not enough to do this translation.
No, I definitely don't. I have functional knowledge, but what I like to do best when I write is to mess. And in order to mess with language, you need to have the full range of associated meanings and anticipated meanings and dreamt of meanings and all those kinds of riches that one has as a mother tongue speaker.
So for those listeners who have not yet read this challenging book, give us the sort of 100-word horse's mouth summary of the premise. What's going on here?
Okay. It's, I think, a story of tables that are turned. When Mila De Wet is a young woman, she...
In the 1940s.
In the 1940s. She inherits a farm from her mother. Her mother is a tyrant and has basically eradicated the self of her daughter. And Mila, however, inherits this farm and decides to... She rescues an abused colored child from her mother's farm and educates her, trains her, basically, like a little poodle, in fact. And it's an ambiguous child that is also a kind of a personal assistant, you could call it, or a housekeeper. And then when Ahad, the little Ahad, is 12 or 13 years old, Mila falls pregnant with her own child. And from one day to the next, she demotes Ahad from the position of child in the house to nanny in the back room. Ahad must be dressed in a uniform, and she's told to behave in certain ways, and it's an incredible betrayal.
And a brilliant idea as a writer, this combination of adoption of a kind within the apartheid system amounts to slavery.
Yes, it does boil down to that. However, there are all kinds of other ethical problems with it as well. You can ask yourself what would have happened to Ahad if she stayed with her family. The indication is that she was already raped when Mila got to her. So
there's no easy villains and heroes.
No, there is no easy situation in this. It's not easy. Anyhow, so what happens in the end is that we meet them again when Mila is in her 60s and Ahad is like 40 or late 40s. And Mila has contracted ARS, motor neuron disease, and is rendered completely helpless. And Mila is now dependent on Ahad to nurse her to the end. She can't speak. Ahad has to speak for her, which they do with an alphabet chart. And they have some stuff to sort out.
A narrator who can't speak.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's a kind of a sleight of hand. Also, you challenge the reader to suspend their disbelief. But I wanted to render her entirely, entirely powerless and to give her nothing but her own thoughts. And we don't ever get Ahad's voice in the story except when it's reported by Mila.
Which is untrustworthy.
And she's an extremely untrustworthy narrator. I mean, she's very evil. But most people find her sympathetic.
No, you call her truly a bitch and a vampire.
Yeah.
And then in addition to a narrator who can't speak, Ahad, this person she's tyrannized and who's now going on to tyrannize Lord knows whom, her name means good.
Yeah.
In Afrikaans.
Yes, her name means good, but I don't want to be part of that farm that Ahad's going to run in the wake of this whole drama.
Yeah.
I can tell you now, she will remember how she was victimized till the end of her days.
Yeah. As you say, none of the people in this novel really are purely good, and most of them are unpleasant and unlikable in important ways. When outsiders, when Americans and Europeans and Westerners look at South Africa, we tend to see it in very black and white terms. But this is entirely a story of moral ambiguities.
Yes. It is a country of huge moral ambiguities around power. Power, I think, has probably been too much at the forefront of South African novelists. I would like to quote John M. Coetzee in this regard. He says South African language is an enslaved language because it only deals with the torsions of power. It would be better to investigate beyond the myths that first the white nationalists told of their own mission.
And redemption of the
place. And redemption, and that the black nationalists are now also doing.
So not to put too fine a point on it, but just as Agathe, the black character in this in this book, takes on some of the unattractive habits of mind of Mila.
Of course. Yeah. And that's not a new idea. I mean, when one is a South African, you're faced with an incredible amount of human suffering. And you constantly ask yourself, what must I do as a writer in this country?
Right.
It's a huge moral problem.
Yeah. You teach. The students who are now coming to university essentially are a post-apartheid generation. They were infants. Do they strike you as fundamentally different in having this entirely be a matter of history rather than experience?
Yes. Young colored guys who want to reclaim Afrikaans in the version that they speak it in Cape Town, for instance. I find that a very refreshing movement that I can identify with deeply because it's a very lively, rhythmical, musical Afrikaans.
You like it because it's a hybrid.
Exactly. I like hybrids. I think the only way to go for South Africa is to start celebrating hybridity and hybridizing soon and with alacrity and with cultural aplomb.
That's the hope?
Yeah. That's the hope. That's the hope.
Marlene van Niekerk, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Marlene van Niekerk's new novel, Agathe, has just been published in this country.